Well, good morning, everyone. Hopefully you can see my first slide, and then the second slide, which is blood alcohol levels are influenced by. That's the rate of drinking, the type of liquor, how concentrated it is, with regard to its alcohol content, importantly how big an individual is, and presence of food in the stomach. And I think Alan will say a little bit more about those factors. The next slide then, if it's up, is that right, Dacia?
Yes, we're moving
current
through.
Legal limits.
Mm-hmm.
I think, as we all know, the New Zealand limit of 80 milligrams per 100 ml of blood, which is the same as 400 on a breathalyzer, is relatively high by international standards. And I was interested in a statement by Professor Selman at a recent conference that he believes our current level of 79 is a legal sanction to drive drunk. And it's just worth reflecting, and I think Alan may do this more, that it takes quite a lot of alcohol to reach that level. And in fact, there's a formula around where you can work it out. But 8 standard drinks for an 80-kilogram male would, and I hope Alan agrees with this, over a couple of hours, is about what it takes to reach 80. So that could be a bottle of wine or 7 stubbies of beer. So it is quite a lot of alcohol required to reach 80. Let's go into the next slide, Dacia, that I just wanted to make the point that at this level, a person who's not actually a regular or a high user of alcohol, that's relatively naive, would show signs of intoxication. And in fact, people would perceive themselves to be intoxicated. And certainly others would observe some of the earliest signs of intoxication from alcohol that I've listed there, such as starting to slur speech, being somewhat unsteady, knocking things over or walking unsteadily, slowed thinking could be obvious, certainly impairments of judgment, which could lead to risks of speeding or taking other risks, or even things such as giddiness or nausea might be coming on at that level. The next slide. In the experimental literature, I think there's a lot of evidence to suggest that over 50 milligrams impairments in driving abilities are shown to be becoming obvious. And I've listed off some of the studies there that really have looked at the 50 to 80 level. And at 50, you can see there's increased time to respond to driving hazards, steering error and reaction time, sensitivity for stationary moving objects, coming in at 43 plus, sustaining attention seems to have come in much earlier at 20 to 30 in that study by Kaliga, and again another study showing reduced reaction time. Some people have questioned whether these sorts of experimental studies in driving simulators or other circumstances actually can be validated to driving. My own view is that we should certainly be taking notice of these experiments. And just in the final slide, Dacia, that review ended up with what I thought was quite an important sentence, that in laboratory studies, impairment in critical driving functions begins at low blood alcohol levels, and most subjects are significantly impaired at 50. So I thought that was an important statement. And I think others might get onto the epidemiology of risks for crashing, but this is something that I have read, that at 50 the risk, not sure if it's fatal crashes or all crashes, doubles at 50, tenfold at 80, and more than 100-fold at levels of 150. So those are the main points I wanted to make, and in particular that a level of 80 is associated with intoxication, and that there is experimental evidence suggesting impairments beginning at least 50. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I'll hand over to our second speaker now, Dr. Alan Stoll of ESR.
Oh, good morning, everyone. All I'm really going to do this morning is look at how much the average New Zealand man and woman can drink without exceeding the legal limit. A number of news reports have suggested that just one or two drinks could put an adult over 50, and that two or three drinks is enough to exceed the current legal limit of 80. Now, depending on the size of the person, and more importantly, the size of the drinks, these reports may well be true, but they're not correct if we're talking about standard drinks consumed by the average man and woman over a period of an hour or more. The next slide actually shows, apologise for the amount of information in this slide, but I hope to explain it. This slide shows best estimates of the number of standard drinks required to reach the current legal limit of 80. I've done the estimates for a man weighing 85 kilograms, 1.8 metres tall, it's just under 6 foot, and a woman weighing 70 kilograms and 1.65 metres tall, that's about 5 foot 6 inches. Now, for each of these two people, I've done the estimates for five different drinking periods, ranging from 30 minutes to 4 hours. And you can see that if the man is drinking over a two-hour period, see if we can... look at the two-hour period, he can consume between about five, or just over five to eight standard drinks without much chance of exceeding the legal limit. This is reasonably consistent with Jeff's statement earlier. These estimates are rather conservative. So the five is probably... is probably a little bit conservative, but the best estimate will be somewhere between five and eight drinks for this particular person. The woman drinking over the same two-hour period can't drink so much. The woman is in the pink bars, but she can still take more than three standard drinks without exceeding the current legal limit. And as we increase the drinking time, we also increase the number of drinks required to reach the current limit. The longer the drinking time, the more alcohol is destroyed by metabolism, mainly in the liver, during the drinking period. Now, if we look at the next slide, this relates to our proposed 50 milligram per 100 mil limit. And again, I've done dose estimates in terms of standard drinks for our average male and average female for five different drinking periods, from 0.5 up to 4 hours. And again, let's just look at the two-hour drinking period, which is a an unusual drinking period. The man can still take 3.6 to 5.9 standard drinks without going above the 50 limit, and the woman can take 2.4 to 4 standard drinks without going over the limit. Now, in these drinking scenarios, there's only one case where consumption of less than 2 standard drinks might result in a blood alcohol level over 50, and that's where the woman consumes her drinks in 30 minutes. This is the case here. But even in that case, on the balance of probabilities, she would get away with taking 2 standard drinks. The chances are that she would be street legal after 2 standard drinks. Now, it's important to recognise that I'm not saying that these two people, these hypothetical average New Zealanders, would be safe drivers under the given drinking scenarios. All I'm saying is that they would probably not exceed the relevant legal limit after these doses. You may be wondering what is a standard drink? And this is, it's a good question, because there doesn't appear to be any international standard drink. Different countries set their own standards, but in New Zealand, a standard drink contains 10 grams of alcohol. You'll find 10 grams of alcohol in a standard 330 milliliter can of beer containing 4% alcohol by volume. So that's a standard can of beer, draft beer at 4%. So that's your standard drink. And as Jeff said, bottle of wine with a sort of average alcohol content contains 8 standard drinks. And a similar size bottle of spirits containing 40% alcohol contains almost 24 standard drinks. Now, most people will not be able to metabolize more than 1 standard drink per hour. So if you drink 10 cans of beer, it's going to take at least 10 hours. For most people, it's going to take at least 10 hours to remove the alcohol from your body completely. Okay. A little bit about rates of alcohol removal from the body. The removal of alcohol from the body is similar for men and women. And the rates, in terms of the change in blood alcohol levels, the rates are usually within the range of 10 to 20 milligrams of alcohol per 100 mils of blood per hour. And that equates to about 5 to 10 grams of alcohol per hour. In other words, between about a half and 1 standard drink per hour for the bulk of the population. Now, there is a lot of good evidence, to suggest that chronic heavy drinkers, can clear alcohol from their bodies at much faster rates than that. But if we're talking about the average person, we should assume that they're not going to clear more than a half to a standard drink, a half to 1 standard drink per hour. I apologize for taking up so much time here, but there is, it seems to me that there's a little bit of misunderstanding about how alcohol is metabolized and how it's absorbed and distributed within the body. as I said before, women metabolize alcohol at least as fast as men. So the rate of alcohol clearance from the body, the rate at which the body removes alcohol, is not related to body size. But the amount you have to drink to reach a particular blood alcohol level is related to body size, or more specifically, lean body mass. Weight for weight, women tend to have a lower lean body mass than men, so they don't need to drink as much as men to reach the same blood alcohol level. It's also very important to recognize that alcohol doesn't just circulate in the blood until it's removed from the body by the liver. It actually ends up distributed relatively evenly throughout the body's total water content. Now, the total body water volume is about 10 times the blood volume. So if we take our 85-kilogram male, he probably has close to 5 litres of blood. But he'll have close to 50 litres of body water. So when he drinks alcohol, instead of the alcohol just being diluted in the 5 litres of blood, that dose of alcohol will actually be diluted by nearly 50 litres of water. And it's this fact that we actually use, or this is one of the most important facts that we use to do the dose estimates that I presented in the earlier slides. It's a simple dilution of alcohol into the total body water. Now, just finally, a little bit about alcohol absorption. Alcohol is not actually absorbed very fast through the stomach. It goes into the stomach to start with, and if the stomach doesn't empty into the intestine, alcohol absorption from the stomach is actually quite slow, and this is why eating food before drinking can slow the rate of absorption of alcohol. The food delays the passage of alcohol through the stomach and into the intestine. Once the alcohol gets into the intestine, it's absorbed extremely rapidly. So if you drink on an empty stomach, what happens is the alcohol tends to go through the stomach reasonably rapidly and straight into the intestine, and within minutes the alcohol passes into the blood. So if you think the body is actually removing alcohol all the time, it starts removing alcohol as soon as you start drinking. If the absorption process from the stomach is very slow, the removal process has a much better chance of keeping up with the input, if you like. But if the alcohol goes straight through the empty stomach and straight into the intestine, you have a rapid passage of alcohol into the blood, and you can get a rapid rise in the blood alcohol level. And this results in a greater feeling of intoxication. So the slower the absorption into the blood, generally the lower the feeling of intoxication you have. So I think that's really... I had one more slide, but I think really this is probably... Already been covered by Jeff. The international research strongly suggests that 50 milligrams per 100 mils is a threshold above which the risk of being involved in an accident rapidly increases, and the increase that you see is actually essentially an exponential increase in accident risk.
All right. Thank you very much, Alan.
Welcome.